Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 26 of Arcane Analysis. Tonight I'm joined by my co-host Allie, and Tanlin's back as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about how tall you must be to raid.
With a new raid tier, it's been out for a while. A lot of people have had plenty of time to explore. Another wing of the LFR has opened up today, so that's kind of exciting. But Antorus has been out. You know, I've cleared normal, and we're going to be starting our ventures into heroic. You know, Sam, you've gotten through normal and poked at a few heroic fights, correct?
Yep. Yes.
And then, Tanlin, how far have you gotten?
I have cleared on normal on one of my paladins and have gotten to Argus normal on my Alliance paladin, and I'm progressing heroic, and I think we've got the first five down.
Cool. That's a lot of fun.
Nice. Good job.
So everything that comes out with a new raid, my first thing is about what fight is the most fun, and I definitely have to say that for me, it is Aggramar. That is a really fun fight. To me, it's not a very mechanically complex, but the mechanics are very direct. And it requires just enough coordination to make sure that everybody's involved and working together. And I think those are the best experiences in a raid.
And for me, I am, like, the mechanics, I'm so, like, I just zone out, so I don't even, like, once I've done the fight a few times, everything's automatic, and I don't think about mechanics anymore. So I'm really listening to, like, the bosses, you know, their, what are they saying? And it would have to be Coven, because pathetic, I mean, it's true, that's the Vathmas fight where she says, pathetic, let them all burn, but then, you know, like, I want to see you roasted. It's just very entertaining to listen to while you're fighting.
Yes, I think that one's a good one. In terms of, like, voiceovers that really get under your skin after a while, I think it has to be High Command, because that fight's a little trickier, even on, like, normal and LFR. People don't know what they're doing, and things go boom. But
I mean,
your chances of survival
on LFR is absolutely horrible.
I'm terrified. I'll try later.
I'm scared.
But
oh, and not that fight, but the Portal Keeper fight. Since we were talking about kind of like add-ons and gear score, I thought that it was really interesting that one of our tanks was having problems with their DBM, and I wanted to tell them, like, if you just listen to what the Portal Keeper says, she's telling you what portal she's opening. You don't need DBM to tell you.
You need DBM to tell you what portal to open? Like, that is just a... It's a set order, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a set order at 30%, 60%, 90%.
Right, but you don't need to, like I'm not, like, if you're not looking at the boss because you're trying to target down the imps, you don't really need to even, you know, have an awareness if you're just listening to her talking, because she'll tell you what portal she's opening.
Oh yeah, very true.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I don't listen to a lot of the raid bosses often. I had too many bad experiences with Professor Putricide and Sundragosa that I try to ignore bosses.
Yeah, Sundragosa was difficult to listen to.
Sundragosa was difficult to listen to, but I got stuck on Professor Putricide twice because I had to leave one raiding guild just after we killed him, and I moved to another group that kind of raided a little more at a reasonable time for me. And I had to go right back into Professor Putricide progression, and it was absolutely horrible. Hello, everyone. Oh, man, the worst. It was like 2 months of listening to him. It was awful.
What's really funny is I didn't know what that was a reference to until like a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Futurama.
I never watched Futurama until like 2 years ago, and I'm like,
I didn't either.
This all makes sense now. Okay.
Silly Sam.
I'm I'm kind of dense sometimes, but getting back into Antorus, I think the dialogues are very interesting. One nice to see is that the mechanics for each fight are more varied. Like, there are some...
They're so different.
And it's nice not to see really cool soak all that. The things.
I mean, as dull as most of the fights are, at least they make you do and work in different ways on each fight. And that is at least, as a raid, a much more interesting raid to progress through. Tomb of Sargeras was absolutely horrible in that aspect, and often at times it was like, is that this soak mechanic or is that soak mechanic? Because I can't remember which one it is, and oftentimes we had a few raiders who would confuse them on occasion, and it's like, oh, no, you did the wrong soak mechanic, my bad.
Yeah, I know there's a few times that I ice blocked on the wrong thing on Kill Jaden.
Oopsies.
And killed everyone, or just myself. Yeah, I'm a smart mage-ish. But yeah, it's nice to see good use of, like, the rooms that the bosses are in, and some varied mechanic styles and everything. To me, it feels very well coordinated. Whereas, like, I'm actually actively engaged with each fight. Whereas, mm-hmm. Tomb of Sargeras, I just, you know, kept following the group and killing the things and then moving on. And it was just very...
It's a boss in a green room. Okay, next. It's a boss in a green room. Okay, next.
That's a boss in a blue room. Next.
It's a boss in a blue room. And a red room. And a ship. It's on a rocket ship.
Yay. But it's things that you may not necessarily take into consideration until you really get in there, but we've had many, many years of green. It'll be nice to see not green things in the next expansion.
I really hope that we have a lot of, like there's a difference between plant green and fell green. Please, right. No more fell green. I really don't need it.
Right.
Like, if we have some blues and purples and green, and, like, not like elf blue and purple, although likely we will if we're going to have Queen Ashara.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be nice to get, like, a variety of shades. Everybody loved Ulduar because it did kind of change your aspects a lot. I think in a slight way, it was nice to have that exist. Another raid that I really enjoyed was... Mugshun Box, just because it did change up the scenery just a little bit. It was still the same theme through, but it did change up what you were looking at every so often, which mm-hmm. was nice to see.
Yeah, speaking of greenery, I think, I know she's the easiest, but just conceptually, I think it's my favorite is Anar, because it's tower defense. It's a giant room, and you have to jump and fly and coordinate things, and it's really, really easy on normal, and I hope that, like, heroic and mythic are much more challenging, or at least mythic.
It's not that much more challenging. What I like about ANR is that if you are a class that brings a lot of utility as part of your kit, you get to use a lot of that utility. Like, if you have a slow, you get to use your slow. Like, if you've run away from your healer because that room is so big and it's easy to get separated from your healers, that if you're a class like a Retribution Paladin that has off heals, you get to use them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice that there is that utility. I mean, we're seeing hunters bringing out tar traps all the time. I'm getting a use out. I even picked up Ring of Frost once, and that was really weird. Mostly because we had some instances where things were getting past us the first time. The second time, we definitely fixed all those issues.
Yeah, I think I switched to, like Flame Patch and whatnot, so I could slow down stuff with fire and, you know...
So it's kind of cool that they've added that fight. It's such a different fight than everything else that we've seen in such a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that it's the, like, herder loot ship type fight, because, you know, we've had a few of those, and it's like, no, this was a really awesome idea. This is really, really cool. Ignore that it's kind of easy, but I think in a way it kind of has to be, because there's so much movement. And so for people
much going on in so many ways, like it wouldn't work.
Right. If you're at high latency or on a crappy computer and like WoW is very, very forgiving in terms of like performance capabilities for what you can run and play that game on functionally. And so
that room ends up being what, like the Anexia room when you have everything going on?
I think so. So and that with just a lot of spawns and everything, it's there's a lot there in one setting that can really bog you down. So I think in that regard, it has to be kind of forgiving. And it's the same thing with like the gunship and ICC. It was a cool fight. You had to jump ships and freeze things and unfreeze things and move around, but it had to be forgiving for that same kind of reason. So I think that's why it might be my favorite, even if it's cake sauce. I still salute you.
Salute you. Good, interesting fight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess for me, it was just always too boring. Maybe, and then that's just going to be me. Me only having experience this far on normal, but it's just, I don't know, any fight that's overly easy, even if, and like lacking of mechanics, is just kind of boring, and I don't get a joy out of it. But of course, too many mechanics, and you're like, this is so frustrating to deal with, such as kill Jaden RNG crap.
Yeah, like I don't dislike ANR. It's a good change. It's a good, you know, like usage of all of my abilities. Like, but it's also really quick.
Yeah,
it's a very when you defeat the, it's really quick. And I wish it was a little bit more challenging, a little bit more longer of a fight.
Yeah,
I think it would be nice if it was just a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be any more challenging, I think, but like if there was a little bit longer and it got a little bit more hectic towards the end, the only problem that you see on normal is that you suddenly have bats to deal with at the last moment, the fell bats.
Yeah, the bats are.
But otherwise, like it's just not something that you have to deal with at all. Like everything else dies so quickly and it goes on. There's no real complexity. We've split up our group to have like a tank and a healer, a tank and a healer, and then like a few DPS that go with each, but then a bunch of DPS that just roam with another healer to wherever is needed the most. Like sometimes it's up at the top, sometimes it's down at the bottom. Instead of like making two solid groups that rotate, you know, as they need to, it's just like a floating mass of the right people to get everything done.
Yeah, I think visually, mechanically, it's just a really good palate cleanser since we've been sitting in fell rocks. Like, that's equally as important as mechanic things to me, because I try to look at stuff as a whole as much as I can and not nitpick one thing, because if you stare at it too long, it all gets kind of ugly. but you both have seen Argus. That one's cool.
That's a really... It's a cool grand fight. It's a really neat fight. I think at the end, it is so much of a hold your breath and hope things die moment that's kind of like my breaker of what I find fun on that fight. If that last phase wasn't so frantic and so desperate,
right,
it would be a lot more fun of a fight overall. It's a great fight, and I love the feeling that you get at the end of the fight, because it's very, like, we're fighting, you know, this fallen titan, this full-powered titan, and I think that's definitely the feeling that you want to have as you're finishing the fight. It's just exhausting and frustrating to deal with as an enjoyment factor. I think it sits all the right points for what they are trying to get thematically out of the fight. It's just not as enjoyable to me.
Yeah, my issue is that the first three phases are so easy to get through once you have them mechanically down, that once you get into the fourth phase, there's like 1,000 things that can go wrong. And once it goes wrong, there's no recovering. And then to get over, you know, to start over, you have to go through those first three phases, which is a good 6 or 7 minutes. And so every pull is like 8 or 9 minutes. And there's no way of knowing if this is the one, if you've made any mistakes, until you get to that last fourth phase. It's all, and it's just all on that fourth phase. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, I've actually taken that fight to Enrage, which is kind of funny because we had half our DPS die. Which, it was fine up until the last bit, and we just didn't have enough bodies to get everything down, and then he Enraged and blew up. It was kind of great.
Nice. We never actually hit Enrage, we just kind of hit the soft Enrage of all the orb spawning.
Mm-hmm.
I've done both.
Good job.
Good job.
When you're learning, like, the first and second phases, and you lose a couple of DPSs, like, it doesn't mean that you're going to wipe on those phases. It just means that it's going to take a little bit more time to get through those phases to move on to the next one. And when you've used a lot of time in the first and second and even third phase, that leaves you less time for the fourth. And that's when I've seen the Enrage.
That would make sense, certainly. So I guess speaking of Argus, and, you know, Argus, like the Titan Argus, that's usually, you know, we talked about, you know, you must be this tall to raid, hinted at it. That's like the big achievement, I think, going right now of people, whether you are allowed into Pugs. And, you know, as a community, we've gotten to such a good spot in picking which form of, you know, quote unquote, discrimination. That's a bad phrasing too.
Exclusion, I think.
Exclusion is the better thing. You know, picking and choosing who you want to, you know.
Right. Like, I got really, really lucky. Week one, I killed Argus on Tuesday. So, and that was like, I only did like the last. I did the first boss and like the last three because I just had some really crappy pugs. So I was just like spam applying to things, but we, like, I jumped in on Coven and then we just went boom, boom, boom and cleared them. And like being able to have that seed of the Pantheon to pug into other stuff has actually worked out really well and been important because I'm not doing heroics. I'm obviously not doing mythics, but up until LFR reaches and the more casual layman general populace has that seat of the Pantheon, it's kind of my little golden ticket. And the same thing ends up happening with the head of the curve as we get further into the expansion, where more people have got more gear and they're become increasingly less tolerant of the quote scrubs that they'll let in. And so, yeah. And you don't just see it in rating. I see it in Mythic Plus as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly. Like, we as a community in WoW have done a very, very good job of excluding people that we deem not fit to play with us. And I think we always kind of forget that just looking, boiling a player or a person or anything down, especially in this game, to a number or a couple numbers is never the best way to tell of a good player, often or not.
Yeah, and it's been a rampant thing since vanilla. Like, having an epic was a big deal. That meant that you were clearing stuff so people would want you to come play. And obviously we didn't have the amount of difficulties and lockouts and all that sort of thing. So you ended up, also things like Group Finder, you ended up working with the same people a lot. So there was a lot more server familiarity. And that's what kind of born into this wall for getting not just people who have epics. And then now we need people with achievements and that sort of thing. So it got really bad during Wrath. Like, it was a blessing and a curse to have achievements and stuff like that, because it was an easy thing to parse whether, like, hey, I've got this scrub that, you know, maybe they just bought this account off of eBay and they don't know how to play and they're gonna kill us all. But at least just like a certain baseline level of entry, and I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'm not really, really bad about it, but I will occasionally at least look up people just to see, like, what they've cleared, especially doing Mythic Pluses, because if I'm jumping into a like something that I'll see rather frequently, especially when I'm doing 15 keys, is I'll see groups asking for looking to push to this key, blah blah blah, and then like the max item level that they'll be asking for is something really, really low for that key level. So I always kind of wonder, well, have you run any? Like, how did you get this key? So I'll go look them up, and like, they've maybe done a 10 and a 12 and you know, one 14 or 15 to get that one key. And so if they're running something that I haven't seen them do before, like, I'll be, it won't mean that I'll drop group, but I'll be a little more on the defensive of like what I expect to see from this run or how long I'm going to be in here, which is why I spent 2.5 hours in a +16 seat of Triumvirate just to get it finished.
Oh gosh.
Because I jumped from like a +2 to a +10 to a +16. And that place is hard and people are unfamiliar with it. So my patience got really, really low. So it's easy to kind of, it's a slippery slope.
Seed is a very interesting dungeon, and I don't think it fits well into the Mythic rating system as well, personally speaking. It, just the way that the trash paths and everything is organized, it's a very frustrating instance to have something kind of go wrong, because it's one of those places where all hell will break loose.
Yep. Oh boy, does it ever. It has the same problem. It's the same reason that I don't like to run Eye of Ashara. Like, we've been long enough in the expansion that Eye isn't really a big deal. Like, tanks know to go grab the stupid seagulls and pull them down because, oh, hey, we have a hunter, we have a fire mage in the group. They're going to pull things. Let's not make this. Yeah.
It's just
going to
happen. Yeah. I think it's also helpful that they actually started to give the seagulls some sort of kill count.
Yes.
Before they were 0%, and you're like, well, we have to kill these, but nobody wants to kill these.
Right. And then you run into the same, actually even worse problem in Seat, because the seagulls were pretty static where they were. You get Skyfins, and it's not just like one, it's packs of three that won't be there while you're doing the fight. And then they come over and I have Ignite go everywhere. And suddenly we're fighting six things on a boss that's really hard in a DPS check. And it's
not fun.
Frustrating, because that's usually the time when you blow the lust and we die, and then we don't have it for the next time, and then it makes it even harder, and then you end up waiting for that lust to come off cooldown, and it's just kind of a slippery slope of shenaniganery that is, like, it makes sense for the mana rays as a picturesque scenery for them to be floating around, but from a combat perspective, I hate those mana rays so much. But
I think my favorite was having a Drake pull from underneath you in Halls of Valor on the wolf boss side area. Because of how Barrage works, it went straight up and straight down, essentially. It hit everything. And so we had a dragon come from below the world and come up through it and start attacking us. We're like, where did you come from?
That's kind of amazing. That's horrible, but that's kind of amazing.
I'm not even mad. It's impressive. We were expecting them, but the one from the bottom wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah,
it's something. It's all because of how they deal with stairs, because if you were on a stair, it might not hit anything that was underneath you below. So they essentially just made it. It's a vertical section that's like 15 yards above you and below you, but it's just in the triangle. So it's like a pie shape.
That makes sense. Blackrock Hold, I had issues as well, because Illisana up top, when you were still doing like mini boss at the bottom, Ignite would sometimes jump to her and then she would come down and stomp your teeth in. and then get pulled too far and reset. And then you die, and it was sadness, but I haven't had it happen for a while.
Everybody starts screaming and whining and hollering.
Yeah, that's another thing, is like, people aren't very patient with strangers, which is kind of unfortunate, because that's when you need it the most.
Certainly. So a lot of that is what carries over into the whole, like, you know, Raider IO and Warcraft logs and WoW progress and gear score and achievements all the way back to... Definitely, since I've been playing in Wrath of the Lich King, like, those are the big things.
Right. And I don't I don't hate the tools. I don't have anything against Raider.io for or WoW Progress or Warcraft Logs for presenting the information. Like, it's there freely available, and they put it in an easy digestible manner, and it can be an amazing tool for trying to figure out either where is my place in this big crazy world, where's an area of improvement needed, or where I'm lacking, because like I'll go look and see like, hey, there's a new season for Mythic Pluses, I haven't done this and this run, well maybe I'll try to go do those to do the thing and get the score, and then continue to go back to farming Arcway for my ring that I'm never going to get. But it helps me be better at things and analyzing like what I can go do better at certain choke points, but at the same time it's a double-edged sword where people get extremely mad because that information is even readily available, but like that's an interesting part for some people, the rosters, the leaderboards for the Mythic Pluses by server. And so that's where that information is scraped from. And some people are very, very upset that that's even available information. And it's like, it's not any different than PvP, where you can see where you end up landing. And that's a integral point of interest for some people. That's why you've got people running plus 25s, which is super cool, but also incredibly terrifying to even think about. Like, 16, 17 is my max. I'm kind of a pansy to even try and push something higher than that.
It's just really, like you said, those tools are great and they have a lot of information. And I always love seeing like the little things that I can do to improve myself, especially when I was learning to play a mage after playing a priest forever. Actually, let me go back even further. When I first started playing Shadow Priest, instead of starting to heal, I realized I was doing horrible and I was not happy with myself. And so what I did is I started combing through World of Logs at the time, seeing what people were casting and everything like that. And it was a great tool. But often people would look you up on that website and say, well, you're only doing this much damage and we want you to do this much damage so you wouldn't be invited. Or, you know, you're only doing this much healing. And, you know, it was interesting to see that. And unfortunately, I can also say that I was one of those people that would disclude people based on that information. And there's a lot that you don't necessarily take into account. Warcraft Logs has helped fix a lot of those issues, such as general overall item level. You know, if a person is missing a key trinket or a key legendary or something like that, like especially nowadays, how those items in particular are such valued. And mm-hmm. how much damage that they will cause a swing. Like one of my friends went up one item level, but changed from a bad trinket for them to a much better trinket, and suddenly gained like 60,000 DPS or 70,000 DPS. Like it was a lot. And she was furious that it was that big of a deal. But it's just, you know, using those tools are great, but you have to be careful how you use them, because you could, you know, cut out a person that is a good player but is being held back by something and they just need that last little edge to get there. And that's been a good tool, but often, like you said, it's just so easy to look at someone's summary because we like to see information that's readily available, even for good or bad. And it's just like, oh, you're not pulling enough damage, not going to invite you. And, you know, it's a Raider.io has simplified that, WoW Progress simplified that.
Yeah, it's definitely
a website that used to do the similar thing to it.
Something that I encounter because I don't do much raiding. It comes and goes whether I want to, you know, go in there at all, or I will go through all of the normals, all of the LFRs, and, you know, get into the heroic. It just depends on what my mood's in, because I can, because I'm a casual. But I had really bad luck trying to get tier gear to drop from Tomb of Sargeras. So, like, I held on to my Nighthold stuff forever until it just wasn't feasible anymore because of the massive item level disparity that I was pulling from, you know, Mythic Pluses, that I just had to let it go. And so now I'm stuck in that cycle of, well, I have a 965 non-tier chess piece, and I have a 930 tier piece, and a 910 tier piece. Is it worth dropping the item levels for the set bonus? And for Tomb, like, the sets were pretty good. I'm still on the fence about the ones for Antorus, so I'm not as motivated to at least try and get them. But if I always get very, very paranoid when I see, when I jump into a raid group and there's another Fire Mage, because I'm combing them through and I'm looking at their gear and going, oh, hey, they have four, I have a higher base item level, but they have four piece tier or four plus two plus considerably better trinkets and stuff like that. And so I know that even though I do pretty good, I'm familiar with the mechanics, I'm always going to do a lot less than them. And I have been booted a few times because my damage was subpar. And it's one of those things, like, they don't care why you're performing less. They just need you to do the thing to move on. And I understand it to a degree, but it still feels really icky sometimes. So... Mm-hmm. And the same thing comes from Mythic Plus. Like, I've jumped into groups and been like, oh, hey, I'm a fire. And they look at me and go, nope, and boot me out. Which,
I remember that happened a couple times to me, and it was really annoying. Like, it was towards the beginning, just as Frost got buffed, and people didn't realize that. And so I was trying to do a Mythic Plus, and it was, oh, you're Frost. And I got booted, like, multiple times until I had a friend who helped me along, and back when I was actually doing Mythic Pluses, and we went through, did plus 10s, plus 11s, plus 12s. It was me, a hunter, and a rogue, I think, that were just destroying through everything. It was a very good group. We were doing a lot of damage. I think at one point we started doing like 17s and 18s, back when those were still very hard to push through. Like, it wasn't like an easy thing to do. Because I think this was definitely before the expansion of the artifact traits going forward. So it was a cool thing to do, and then suddenly you have those scores, you have something, and people are more willing to take you. And it's like, you know, this is silly. Like, why do I need to prove myself with these things? I know what I can do. It's just getting that opportunity. Unfortunately, like you said, like, often we like to see the people that have done this so that we don't have to worry about, you know, teaching somebody or working through somebody's kinks or learning curves or stuff like that.
Yeah. And, like, the biggest thing that I can suggest to people is that if you're pugging stuff and you're getting turned down, the first absolutely most important best thing that you can do for yourself is, even if you don't feel qualified for a thing, try anyway. The worst thing is they do is they decline you and you move on. Like, I wish that the apply to group things wasn't capped at 5 so that I could keep spamming them, because life of DPS, LOL. but I do. I just go for things. Like, I've seen groups ask for plus 16, need 2200 Raider IO score, and I don't have that. But I've been accepted into those groups and completed the run and had a really good time. So, like, people, sometimes they just do it as a ruse, or if they're looking up, they just want to see that you've done 115 or something like that. Or usually the bar is held a lot higher than what their expectation is actually meant to be met. And so It's something that I always kind of want to sing very loudly to people is, don't be discouraged by getting declined. Just move on and keep applying. You'll eventually find a good group. And sometimes you'll find a bad one. Like, I pugged into a normal last night just because I hadn't been in Antorus for a while. And it was with some Australians. And my ping went from, like, 15 or 5, which is what I'm used to 400. Because it was on, there were enough Australians that that's where the server was housed at. So I had a huge issue with lag. I don't know how those people did that for so many years. They didn't know any better, but it just blows my mind. Like, the game felt almost literally unplayable, but they didn't boot me. Like, they were super nice about it. And then ping cleared up and it was like 120, which was perfectly fine. And I ended up actually, like, being one of the top damage dealers, and we just smashed through that place. But
Nice.
When we were talking in Discord, the gal that was leading it, she's like, I don't care if you're the most amazing, as long as you do the mechanics and you're not a douche nozzle while you do it, let's keep going. And she booted people that were really kind of nasty in I was going to call it vent in Discord. So it's, I end up finding groups like that more often than I don't. And I can't possibly imagine that I'm that lucky. You know, you're going to find a couple of jerkwads, but try. And I know it's really, really hard for people, especially if they're scared to run things that they're not the most confident about anyway. But it's just try your best to brush it off your shoulder and just keep going on. And you'll end up finding, I think, more positive experiences than negative ones, because people that are going to be gating, you probably don't want to be in that group anyway. It's not going to be a fun time. And that's ultimately what ends up being the most important, is still enjoying yourself. And I think people forget about that.
So yeah, I took about 9 months to a year away from doing Mythics because I tried pugging into one. It was an absolute disaster, and there was no nastiness. It was frustrating from a failure point of view, and we all kind of just like at one point in time just decided we were going to give up. And I was like, well, if this is Mythic, I don't want any part of this, because that name Mythic was so intimidating to me. But then, you know, it was not a pug group. It was just friends that kept inviting me, and eventually doing them built up my confidence. And so now I don't think I would have a problem pugging into one, because I have the confidence. I might not have the Raider IO score, but I know what I'm capable of. And if there's a failure on my part, you know, oops, things happen. What I really don't like is that these tools are so often used. There's like, they're leveraging their knowledge of you, and there's no way for you to evaluate that. Like, if there's four people in a group, you don't really have a good sense of like, well, who are these people? We were talking about websites, and I before I got into a normal raid group, I was using openraid.org.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I could sign up for things. So it was kind of like pugging. I didn't know any of these people, but like if there was a leader, I could look at their past experience and get a good judge of like, okay, this looks like a group I can join. It fits in with my time schedule. I'll know the day or two beforehand whether or not they accept me, so I can kind of like plan my evening around that.
Yeah, they were a great tool. I haven't used them in a really long time because Group Finder is just so much more convenient.
Exactly.
Because I'm kind of lazy. But before we had a good group finder, I would just go and jump into the Horde chat and just apply for the first thing that sounded interesting to me. So it's, you kind of have to thicken your skin a little bit and just really throw yourself out there. That's kind of the best advice I can give for people if they're, and I'm guilty of it too. I didn't start doing Mythics until like Nighthold started coming out. Like I waited a while. And then once I got in and, you know, got my feet wet, it was, well, you know me, I talk about it all the time. I love it. Even when I hate it, I love it. But
yeah, it's probably one of my favorite, like, it is by far like my favorite part of Legion that they've added. It is so complex and interesting and competitive. And I'm not talking like competitive against other people, but against yourself. Like, oh, hey, I did a +8 with these affixes. Can I do a +9? Can I do a +10? And you start pushing yourself to see how far up you can climb. And I think that's a really great addition to the game. So I hate the idea that there are people, there are players out there that are like, oh, I don't want to apply for that because I'm afraid of, and like, I'm with you, like, put yourself out there. You might not get the success that you want right away, but eventually you'll figure it out. And it's not that bad.
I think we've
kind of beaten it.
I have one other comment, and I don't think that the in-game interface does a really good job And I know Warcraft has always been one of those games, MMOs that you play, that a lot of the information is located outside of the game. And the website that I found, it's just mythicpl.us. So it's like Mythic Plus, but there's a dot before the US. It breaks it down so well, like what the affixes are, what they do, which affixes are more difficult than, which ones are easier than others, and gives you a rundown of like the schedule of when they'll come out. And once I saw how it was put together and the rewards, it made so much more sense to me.
Yeah. I have the page open, but I don't look at it as much as I used to, but I did rely on it very heavily when I first started running them, because I didn't know when to blow my cooldowns. I didn't know which bosses to lust and not lust on. And that was like the biggest thing for me, is that was probably why I got invited to stuff sometimes, even though I was crappy, is I brought a lust. So.
Yeah, I mean, those are generally nice things.
They're nice to have, but whatever class you play, go take a couple minutes and kind of look and see what your utility is and what you offer and try and capitalize on that. So I have no problems being a lust jockey if it gets me into groups. But I've met really nice people just from pugging stuff. But again, that's kind of my fate that I've resigned to as a quote, quote, casual, even though some people don't think that I am, because I do spend a lot of time in game. But yeah, Mythic Plus or PL.us is a very good tool. I'm always willing to either group up with people if you're on Horde side and I'm online, or even just have conversations on Twitter and like help people. I want people to you know, get over that hump. I have no problems doing hand-holding. I had a friend that, you know, just started playing in Legion a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and we blitzed her through like plus twos and plus fives. I mean, nobody was getting anything out of it besides her, but it was fun and it got everybody accustomed, and now she's doing heroic raids already, and I'm just like, what? How did this happen?
I have a friend
that's really cool.
In one of my older gaming communities, mentioned that she was considering coming back, and she was like, well, I don't know how much it's going to take to get into end game content. And I know that she leveled to 110 at the beginning of the expansion. So I'm like, I'll run you through Mythics. We run them all day long and you'll be geared in no time, relatively.
Yeah, the barrier to entry is so much more approachable and completable, I guess. Like, you can catch up. It seems like, you know, legendaries and AP kind of bogs down, but like for the most part, if you're just doing the things, that stuff comes also. And with the immediate catch up of the AP, it doesn't take long at all to play catch up with that. That's something I've kind of been doing on my off time, is, you know, boosting up all of the alts and finding something I actually want to play with. Because I'm at a point on my mage where it's so hard to get another point in my weapon.
Yeah. I mean, that's been really nice. I mean, offshoot for me, that is, I don't have to feel like I play all the time now anymore, just by playing what I want to do and not feel like that AP is my desire anymore. Having 75 traits, I'm like, I'm good. All good here.
Yeah, I think I'm at 79 and it's like 680 billion for my next trait, and I'm just like, you know what,
I'm good.
I'm okay, it's fine. that proc is just not going to help me enough. We're good here, carry on. But
I think, yeah, it's just been nice to have those features through.
Yes. As often as people try to use them against one another, it's nice things to have in terms of getting into the game, you know, figuratively and literally very easily, and having tools to kind of figure out where you need to go next or what you're lacking in or kind of anything. But you do have to be a little vigilant, because people like to exclude one another for very, very silly reasons, I think, other than, like, I understand wanting to be able to run through something very quickly and not wipe a million times and that sort of thing, but at the same time, is it worth it to sit looking in queue for an hour for, you know, those magical unicorns in your group versus just, you know, grabbing a reasonably balanced group of people and just diving in on it? Because you end up weeding out the people that are bad or rude much quicker that way. Because if you wipe, like, half the group might go away, and normally what's left are the people that are pretty chill and pretty patient. I've seen that more often than not. Just have patience, breathe deeply, and keep calm and push on.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we don't highlight enough, is that there are, I guess, there's times for those, that seclusion, that I guess, picking and choosing who you want to play with, because when you're trying to do something that's at the edge of your limits, you want to make sure that people are capable, as not necessarily that you're going to be carried, but as capable as you to do those things. But it's often very nice to also take the time to help others, to just enjoy the game, have fun. Like you kind of mentioned and hinted upon, I made a lot of friends and I made a lot of, and had a ton of fun when it was kind of like a no chill attitude. And, you know, even if you're not necessarily helping them through something, if everybody's kind of working together to do what needs to be done, sometimes taking it slow and easy is a lot more fun than trying to blitz through something.
You know, that actually reminds me, not during Legion, but during Warlords of Draenor, we were doing heroic progression, and we'd occasionally come up with a DPS or two short, and my guild leader loved it, because he would bring in new people, and he would use it as a recruitment opportunity all the time. Like, if they were, you know, just good to be around, he'd be like, hey, we're recruiting.
I definitely joined a guild like that originally, and that's a cool thing to experience for certain.
Definitely. I know that's how I've recruited people in the past, is through group finders. And for the brief stint in Mists when I was actually running a 10-man raid for a while, I had recruited one person, but they ended up bringing three friends with them, and they were all great to play together with. So, you gotta let people give you a chance, and you've gotta kind of take a deep breath and give people a chance as well. I mean, it's a two-way street. You might be very frustrated by people declining you, but you might be very nitpicky about what you're applying to, and you're just kind of end up selling yourself short. Versus, you know, throwing yourself out there. But I don't know. I try to have a more positive and more faith in the community as a whole, being good more often than not, being good to one another, than the offshoot cases where you could run into a couple of jerkwads. So I want to share that love with others. But I think that probably does it for us for tonight. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, we have got a Discord. You can check out the podcast on Twitter and at BlizzPro. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Toodles.
Bye.